I'm Floyd Hall, and this is a Wonder Root Artist feature. I have the pleasure today of speaking with the lead singer of Bosco and multimedia artist, Brittany Bosco. Brittany, how you doing?
I'm doing awesome. How you doing?
Doing great. Glad to have you in this morning. What's new in your world right now? What's going on in the galaxy of Brittany Bosco?
Right now, I'm producing a lot of material behind the scenes. I know I haven't put out a project in a while. It's been a couple years, but I've been in the secret place just hiding away, writing songs and figuring it out and, you know, trying out this new skin and this new area of my life that I'm walking into confidently. And I'm doing a lot of art projects, art directing, starting back up my blog because a lot of people are wondering, like, is she a singer, musician, artist? Like, is she all of these things? So I'm getting to a point where I'm kind of like, all right, want to show different, you know, facets of the brand, whether it's visual art, creative branding, music, scoring, whatever.
So what's your process like in the art world as far as art direction or anything in that space versus how you would approach your music?
I'm a very visual person. I think a lot. I'm in my head a lot. I was the only child till I was about maybe 13 or 14. And I was just in my head a lot. My mother would always play records for me after school, and I would just always see visuals and dances and, like, colors, and I love to dance, by the way. It just begins like that, and the same way for my music, I see a vision or I see, like, how I want the song to be played out, you know, as far as, like, in videos. I just dream and think about it first, and it just comes from there.
So even with your music, when you think about what the end result is going to be, do you envision it more or less as a visual product, or do you look at it as something from a performance standpoint?
Oh, that's a good question. I guess a little bit of both. I really don't know, I guess, the correct way to answer that question. I just see it more as a gift. Like, this is, you know, a gift. And I think one of the best gifts are songs, when people give people songs and give them MP3s or a burned CD of, like, their favorite songs or a zip file of just, like, a playlist. I think that speaks volumes to me.
So when can I get my playlist or my MP3?
Yo, I'll definitely. Okay, cool.
I want something.
All right, cool. So what I'll do is I'll email you like 5 songs to listen to.
Seriously. I love it.
Or links.
Okay.
How about that?
Fair enough.
All right, cool.
Fair enough. Talk about your blog. What's up with that?
I'm actually building it up right now. It's very close. I don't even have a release date. I'm just kind of like, do I want to do it today? Because I deleted my blog maybe like 3 months ago, and my Facebook and my Twitter. I just wanted to, you know, escape. I believe that there's like beauty in silence, and you can really hear yourself when you remove yourself away for a little bit. So I came back and basically just showed people what I've been up to, and it shows like the Haps, which is my newsletter, then little events that I go to or I'm invited to, like maybe the Reebok event or something that Fresh Ion may be having, or Adidas, and, you know, show my perspective from that. And also photo shoots and things like that. I'm a big thrift store shopper, so everything I get comes from there. So I'm showing people how to mix designer with thrift stores or, you know, consignment pieces and, you know, look like a million bucks.
Do you feel any pressure?
Absolutely.
I feel like you're an artist that a lot of people locally have connected to in a variety of ways. And whether it's from what they expect from you or what you expect for yourself, how do you manage all of that?
I don't. I'm figuring it out daily. It's a big responsibility, you know, just to, I guess, be an artist or a musician on the forefront and trying to like be yourself, but then keep some mystique about your personality. But I'm so giving. I'm a giver. I love creating. I love helping. I'm a nurturer at heart. I'm from Savannah, Georgia, you know? So, I think I do a good job at, I guess, what people expect. I mean, you answer that. Am I what you expect?
Ooh, yes. But I have expectations, but I don't have expectations. Like as we approach this interview from our conversations back and forth, I just wanted you to be you. So, and I wanted you to be on time. So I said, if she's both of those, then I'm happy.
Got it. I was 10 minutes late, but it was because my back brake went out. And I was hoping that maybe somebody here worked on bikes who can like see what's going on.
We'll see. We'll ask around.
All right.
We'll ask around. Someone may know exactly how to fix that. I am not that person, though.
You have sculptors and all these people here, I'm sure. I don't know.
You never know. There are people here who are great with their hands. So they may be able to figure out exactly what's wrong and work that out.
So what do you do with your hands?
I make shadow puppets.
Look at that.
Ah. What? Now, back to you, though.
No. I want to know. Just a little bit.
I'm getting back into writing, actually. Actually writing. I think as we look at where we are from a digital society and how everything is a text away or a tweet away, I'm looking back at actually writing letters. I started doing that more this year, especially when it comes to my family and people who I don't get a chance to really see as often.
Yeah, like handwritten letters have definitely become obsolete. So it's just like something that's foreign, and I think that a lot of younger kids of the generation and you know behind us lost a sense in that. I don't know. I think we should definitely get back into handwritten things.
So tell me about Savannah.
I love that place.
You went to SCAD.
Yep.
As someone who went to SCAD, who you have this educational component to your art, where you learned and you collaborated with other folks in a variety of ways, you still bring that. I feel like you bring that a lot to your art and to what I see from you. So how does that still play a role in how you create things today?
Visual communication is key. That's one thing that I learned about. That's one thing I learned, you know, at SCAD, and execution is, you know, you have to hit it on the mark every time. And it shows in your work. You know what I mean? Like, if you don't really, like, put your all into it. I don't know. SCAD has definitely taught me discipline and about taking your time and doing it right. Like, take your time. We, you know, have projects that may take 2 weeks. Like, you have a 2-week deadline. Some professors just know that the work that goes into it. I've done this one song on my album at least 20 times and it's still not right. So I believe that the steps that I've learned in school prepared me to not get impatient or to not get weary, because the creative process comes when it wants. You can't force it. In the minute that you force it, it becomes tainted, you know? So that's one thing that I definitely, you know, carry out into my work until this day, whether it's music or my art.
What about Savannah inspires you?
The greenery. I love being outside. I grew up outside playing in the yard, playing in the field. My grandmother would say, you need to get off that bike, scuffing up your knees, blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, the spirit of that place is just warm. It's just like a blanket of creativity, where it's this energy that's just pulsating, you know, and it gets into you and you just start creating stuff and you meet people. And the open liquor container policy is pretty awesome, I must say. So that helps the creative process. I wouldn't say it's a free for all kind of feel, but I would say that they embrace you to just be yourself. I would say that.
And how is that different than Atlanta?
You're going to get me in trouble. I would say Savannah gives you some space to breathe. I would say that everybody's just not trying to put their card in your hand, or, you know, the collaborations down there are more organic. And a lot of, I feel like every time, you know, artists go out, or, you know, people that I know, it's like you're almost like forced to like meet people, because you have to go to this place because you have to meet this person, or you have to know this person so you can do this sometimes. But I feel like relationships down there just happen more organically. And it's just like a very peaceful spirit in Savannah. And if I had my way, I would live there if it was just a little bit more like upbeat, you know, all that great stuff. But creating down there, it's great. You should definitely try it. Bed and breakfasts are great too.
I've been down there. I went once for a school visit, I think when I was in middle school. Mm-hmm. And then once just for another time. But been to Hilton Head a lot.
I love Hilton Head. I will always. Okay, can I tell you a story?
Tell me a story.
So my senior year in college, my senior year in high school, I got out of school like 9:45 every day towards like the end of the year. So I would like escape and go to Hilton Head without my mom knowing a lot after school with the car. And if she found out, she's probably going to hate me for it. Like, I would just leave school and then like, I'm going to Hilton Head. Just me and my friend Brittany Johnson. If my mom found out, she would kick my butt, like, immediately.
It's right there, though.
It's like, but I have to cross the bridge, like, that big bridge. You know, I'm 18. I don't know. The bridge. And then I'm kind of, like, a little naive, just a little green. So I'm like, I give homeless people money, and I feel bad for people on the side of the road. You know, like, do you want to ride? That was, you know, I can't do that. But I was 18, so.
So what did you do in Hilton Head?
I went to the beach, man. I went to the beach. I went to the outlets. I was in love with the Nike Factory store. Like, I loved that place. But, yeah, I loved that place. Like, the Nike store was awesome. So I would go and, like, memorize and pick out the shoes that I was going to get for the next time I came with my mom.
Now, how is the beach in Savannah different than the beach in Hilton Head? It's the same water, essentially.
It's the same water, but it's more of like a more low country vibe in Hilton Head to me. I don't know. And it's like the hotels look better on the water. I don't know. It just looks better. Does that make sense?
Sure. It makes sense.
I went to both, but I like Hilton Head.
Plus, it was different.
It
wasn't your home beach.
Right.
It wasn't home. So you feel some kind of way about the other places, even if it's like the next town over. It's just always that way. I get that.
Yeah.
Which Nikes were your favorites? Dunks, Vandals, Air Force Ones?
SBs.
SBs?
Yes. Nike SBs. High top SBs. Man, let me tell you this tennis shoe story. So my freshman year in college, it was me, my friend Craig Howard, who is now the Canvas Project, like a creative director, so he makes shoes. It's this great project, so I'll write it down for you at the end. We would just like go up to Hilton Head and wait for like release shoes. Like the ones I really wanted were the Pee Wee Hermans, but the ones that I really like really wanted were the glow in the dark Dunks, and I got them.
You got them.
I still have them to this day. I'm not ever getting rid of them.
How often do you wear them?
I don't wear tennis shoes anymore. It became too popular.
Okay.
I don't wear them. Let's see. I'm trying to get back into it. But remember that craze in like, between 04 and 06? It was like Nike, SB, Dunks. Like everybody had them. You remember?
I like the Dunks. I do. I think I liked the Nike Vandals a little bit better, though.
What's the shape? Are those?
Kind of like these that I have
like
on
Blazers?
Now.
Oh, I like Blazers, too.
Kind of like the Blazers, but I'll have to show you a picture or send you a picture.
Okay.
So let's talk about Atlanta and your career as an artist and your band. Talk about your band and how that came to be and how Atlanta has been sort of a home base for you for that.
The Bosco Band has changed a lot within the last year. started out as maybe a 5-piece, then it grew into a 6-piece, into a 4-piece. Bosco is basically a collective of musicians, DJs, and producers. It kind of merged into that John Key, which does, he plays drums and he also does like the bass and the key parts, which are programmed for our live show now. Ira G, which is the electronics. He does an MPC and Ableton in the machine. So how like A-Rap Music does that. Then we have Jonathan Maranovich, which is our indie rock, kind of post-punk kind of guy, guitar player. He also is a songwriter in the group. And then the newest member is Omar Ferrer, which is a producer, idea, cultivator, spearhead of this new direction and sound with along with us. So he just joined the band. But I love these guys. We have been putting in a lot of work with over the last year in the city, you know, just trying to build up our fan base. And I will say the hard work has definitely paid off because we're at a point where we can take off like 3 months, 4 months and work on our album. Because last year was crazy from, you know, One Music Fest opened up with Santi Gold. We did South by Southwest. Did a show with Fife and Ghostface. And I mean, it was just crazy. We had a lot of shows here, shows in, Alabama. I mean, it's just, it was a lot. We laid a lot of ground down. And we kind of got to a point where it was like, all right, yeah, we should probably like work on an album now. You know how you just like run. And we've been doing that for the last 5 months. And I've never been so in love with my music ever before in my entire life. It's like the first time that I'm actually hearing myself and knowing where the sound is going, you know, knowing, you know, where the brand is going. I just have like a certainty now. And Atlanta has been great to us. They've supported. We've done a lot of free shows. We've done a hell of a lot of free shows, pop-up shows, just appearances and supporting different things. And I think that Atlanta really appreciated that part. And we're very blessed to just have the support of the city. Very blessed.
So in all of the shows last year with Ghostface and Fife and at One Music Fest and every place else, which song, if you had to identify one song that you felt that everybody really started to connect to when you performed it, or maybe you just felt a certain way when you performed it, what song was that?
It has to be one song. Can it be two?
Two.
Okay, thanks. 'Cause I'm going to explain two reasons. Joker, which is the single that we came out with last year, is a very interactive song, crowd participation, and everybody wants to feel like they're a part of something. So it was the last song, and what we would do, we would pass out drumsticks in the crowd. It was a very percussion-based song. It was a lot of toms, sticks, and I would do like this chant, and then the whole building, we had like 50 drumsticks, they'll just start hitting the sticks like, and we would start the song like that. So it's like this crazy energy in the crowd every time, like every time we performed this song, and people just like really loved it. It was really catchy, I guess. It was really catchy. I guess they dug it. But the drumstick thing was pretty dope.
I like Joker.
You do?
I did. I do. And I'm glad that you said it. I didn't want to put my own favorite in because I'm doing the interview, but I'm glad that you said that because something about that song I just liked. I don't know what it was. I think when I first heard it, I probably played it probably 5 or 6 times in a row. Just like something about it just really, really felt good.
Well, great. I think if you like that, that's the direction. It's kind of like the direction I'm not going to say kind of. We're totally doing a 180. But the new project, I don't want to speak too much about it. It's electronic bass. It's vocal heavy, it's melodic, it's vulnerable, it's it exposes your vices and makes you think about things that you don't want to. It makes you face certain things that you never wanted to face. And I think that a lot of people will relate to that, to the album. It's going to be great. But my second song is Anymore. I wrote that song about a relationship beginning and a relationship ends, you know, like the life that it has, and then the death, and then the resolve. So Anymore, it's a really great song, and I can't wait to release that too. I'm just ready to put out the album, man. I'm super ready. I think we're all ready. The whole Bosco Collective is just ready to put it out.
So in the face of whatever pressure you may feel as an artist, as a person, as a creative spirit, I also sense a very strong confidence in you right now. So can you speak to that?
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of that has to do with becoming a woman and being sure of yourself before any music is present. I'm just learning myself and, you know, wearing this new skin, and I've done a lot of thinking. I've done a lot of researching, and I'm finally hearing my voice for the first time, and it's scary. Like, I haven't always been this way. I haven't always been uber confident. I've been confident on the stage, you know, performing and things like that, because that's the place where you can hide. You could be anybody you want to be on the stage, and then when you come off, it's like, oh, okay, I'm back to reality kind of thing. This confidence comes from, you know, loving myself, taking care of myself, eating better, feeling, you know, my lifestyle change, my health, you know, health, I'm eating better, all that great stuff. And I finally have a group of people in the collective who really, you know, believe in this sound, and not saying that the people, you know, prior to who was with me did not, but it's the perfect pieces to the puzzle. And sometimes it takes a little bit of time. You have to work out the kinks. You have to, you know, feel it out. It's almost like getting a brand, you know, a pair of new shoes. You got to, like, work them in and figure out how to wear them. Wear them with socks, wear them without socks. How long before I can break them in? You know what I'm saying? So now that we have a great groove going on now, and they feel the same way. If you talk to them, they will have the same confidence, because I believe in this product that we will sell, this product that we have, this gift that we have to give, and it brings a new sense. It's a very refreshing sound right now. It's going back to R&B, it's going back to soul, it's going back to the harder things.
When are you at your best?
That's a great question. It's always these little moments that I have before, like, writing a really good song. It's usually the lighting's like this, dark, and somebody's playing either keys or something, and it's like this window of, like, an hour. It's like an hour window where all of these ideas come and I have to, like, put it together and piece it together. I have so many voice memos on my phone. We thought about doing a voice memo EP of, like, all of the different versions and singing on the phone and then having the track over here, or, like, writing a song in the car or things like that. I think people are more drawn to the creative process and how things work and the blueprints. I think those are very important, and I try to recreate that moment, but it's not ever like this, like it was before. But I don't know. I feel that's where I'm at my best, when I'm that initial moment when you write a song and the words come and it just flows. That's it.
Brittany Bosco, let all of our listeners know how they can get in contact with you or find out more about your work or just your world.
You can go to music HelloBosco.com, or you can go to my blog, whoisbosco.tumblr.com.
Brittany, thank you.